The following program contains swearing right from the fucking start.
Hello and welcome to We Don't Do Stuff. I'm Sunny Dapp.
And I'm Jazz, and this is our special bonus episode about Hong Kong, which we went to a couple of weeks ago.
Hong Kong, baby! Bonus episode.
So that was our nice little Hong Kong intro remix.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
Hopefully it worked well.
Yeah.
So in this bonus episode, we're going to bring you everything that we did in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
But break it down into about 6 manageable sections.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
6 bite-sized pieces.
Yep. So I think we should start with the main thing. So like obviously Hong Kong for us is halfway across the world practically, isn't it?
Literally.
So
halfway.
Let's talk about the travel.
Okay, cool. So, yeah. We left from Birmingham Airport.
So you sound a bit dazzled. So we left from Birmingham.
Yeah. And, I'm still jet-lagged.
So we went from Birmingham and yeah. So we decided to get an Uber there, but it turned out Uber wasn't actually the cheapest, was it?
No, your actual local taxi company
was much cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though he almost broke our back getting there.
Oh my God.
Because of the speed bumps.
So this guy was basically driving through, which fair play on him, right? So it's 5 o'clock, it's rush hour, and you got to get to the other side of Birmingham near the airport.
Yeah.
This geezer was like going through the small roads, going over the speed bumps at full speed.
Yeah.
You know, he probably thought, which we should have told him though, our plane is going to be about 10 o'clock in it.
Yeah.
You don't need to rush.
So we left in good time.
Yeah.
Because we were planned and we were prepared.
Yeah.
That was the first time in the whole trip where we actually weren't late.
I know, wasn't it?
And we were on time.
And after that, that's going to be a recurring theme. So get ready for it.
So basically, we decided to fly from Birmingham Airport.
Yeah.
And we flew by Emirates.
Emirates, yeah.
And that was basically because it was the most direct flight.
Yeah.
And it was the shortest flight.
Layover as well.
Yeah. And it was, it just worked out better for us basically, rather than having like long flights. And we met up with a couple of our friends. So 4 of us went together from Birmingham. One of them was from up north. So he got the train down.
Yeah.
And
I think
it's pretty good like going, are we name dropping our friends?
I think we should do, because then we're going to, when we're telling stories, it's just going to be weird, isn't it?
Oh yeah. It's going to be like this friend, that friend.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically our friends Roman and Hops came from Birmingham.
Roman came from up north and Hops is from Birmingham.
Basically we all met up and it's pretty good going as a group, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was first time that I think for me, definitely good going as a group.
The thing that we noticed in Birmingham Airport was that it was a bit expensive on the drinks front, wasn't it?
Everything was, man.
So everything was expensive. But anyway, we shouldn't talk too much about Birmingham Airport.
Yeah. Because this isn't the Birmingham episode, the Birmingham Airport episode, is it, man? This is what happened in Hong Kong, bro.
Yeah, so basically we flew from Birmingham to Hong Kong and we had a layover in Dubai.
Yeah.
And how did you find the flight? I thought it was pretty good.
I thought it was wicked. The getting there, like, it's just filled with, like, excitement and energy and enthusiasm. And you're just like, yes, can't wait for this. And, you know, which is awesome. I did find that the layover was pretty cool as well. I'm happy that we only had, like, 3 hours.
About 3 hours, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And you just hopped onto the next flight. And you don't even notice anything. Like, literally, you're in, like, a daze, isn't it?
Yeah. And plus, you had, like, enough entertainment. There was plenty of space to move around.
That ice entertainment system they use on that. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
So, we were on, like, a double-deck Airbus, wasn't it?
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. And we're going to answer the most important questions that everyone asks about flying. That, do your taste buds change in flight?
So basically, obviously we're flying for long distances, so no one had Google on their phone.
Yeah.
So myself, Roman and Jazz were having conversations, and normally, like, it took it back to like old school where first of all we had to have conversations, and also if someone said something you just have to take their word for it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like now you can Google it straight away and turn around and say to someone, you know, hold a minute, you're talking rubbish.
Yeah.
So my fact was, which was
that you can't taste anything. Or your taste buds change while you're in flight.
Yeah, and
The food's made.
Well, the food's made with extra flavouring and extra. Oh, that's what I think, but yeah.
So anyway, here's what Google says. So you can't taste sweetness or saltiness nearly as well as an airplane due to the altitude and pressure.
Yeah.
As well as the lack of humidity. And the cabin air also decreases your ability to smell and tasting as much as like as part of your nasal passages as your taste buds.
Yeah.
So even though the food has some flavour to it, they amp up the saltiness and sweetness just so you can actually taste the food.
No way, man. I didn't realise they do that.
Yep. And the other thing that we wanted to answer was, do babies get jet lagged? And the answer is,
yeah.
Oh. Like, why would they not get jet lagged?
I don't know, man. You just think that, like, they're so tiny. You think they just sleep it through?
No, it's because I think it affects their sleep pattern as well.
Oh.
So when you get to wherever your destination is, you should try to get them to sleep in the local time.
Yeah.
And wake up at the local time. And then when they come back, sleep and wake in local time, which is the same as us.
Yeah, I suppose.
Get jet lagged.
But then you think, like, babies be up to, like, 3 o'clock in the morning anyway, man. They're running on some other time zone, man. They're not.
Talking about babies, I had that classic movie scenario where there's an annoying kid sitting behind the chair.
And he was doing all the things, all the cliche things in it.
Yeah.
It's like he's like he watched a film about how to annoy adults who are sitting in front of him. And he was there full on going for it.
Doing everything. He was kicking the seat. He was rocking the seat. He was hitting his toy in the seat.
I think his parents must have been either sleeping or dead because they were not telling him off.
And there's a number of times that you guys turned around and told him off.
Yeah, I turned around, looked at him, and he just stopping it. So, but he was bored out of his face, man.
Yeah, I don't think that ruined my flight, to be honest. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought it was fine. Like he was, I thought he was gonna knock out any minute now,
yeah.
Which he did anyway.
Yeah.
So he was fine. He's only doing it for a bit. He didn't bother me too much.
So
the travel was fine, wasn't it? To Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Did you want to mention anything about the travelling in Hong Kong in general?
Yeah, that was, everything was pretty efficient, man.
Yeah, so we basically used practically every form of transport, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
So the rail system, or the metro system,
so basically
the MTR.
Yeah, so you land in the airport, then you get a train to...
No, we got the bus.
Oh, we had to get at the airport and get a train into the station, innit? And then get a bus from there.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, yeah.
Remember this?
Yeah, so basically
we did, yeah.
So we got a bus... And the bus was pretty sufficient. That took us to where we were staying in Bangkok.
Yeah.
And that took us to Airbnb.
Yeah.
Which was good.
Yeah.
But with some flaws.
Several flaws.
Several flaws.
But basically...
Flaws or flaws?
Are you saying flaws?
Or? I'm saying flaws as in like you had a bit of issues on it.
Yeah, I was doing the play on words.
Oh, was it? Okay, cool.
Okay, so basically what was wrong with the Airbnb? The travel, yeah. So like we were saying the MTR...
Yeah.
So if you're going to travel there, make sure you buy the
Octopus card. Yeah,
so the Octopus card, you can use that to pay for your travel, food.
Yeah, taxi as well.
Taxis, bus. So practically everything.
It's pretty cool though. Yeah. So like, you know, it's one card, you just top it up and you can travel the whole of Hong Kong.
So we put on, for the week, we put on about $100, which is about £11?
£11, yeah.
So that was pretty good. And it's quite useful having that. And the connection and the efficiency of the trains was... amazing, wasn't it, basically?
Yeah, definitely.
So the trains were like really frequent. They went to a lot of the local places and everything was quite close by to an MTR station.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times we were getting taxis, they knew where to drop us off based on where the MTR stations were.
I mean, that's another good thing as well. Like when you are booking somewhere to stay in Hong Kong, make sure it's near a station.
Yeah.
Because I think, I didn't know if we were looking at that.
We were.
Cool. I thought it was a happy coincidence.
No.
Clearly it wasn't.
Yeah.
Clearly
so our friend said that whatever you do, make sure you book it near these MTR stations.
Yeah. Fair enough. Okay.
Which we didn't anyway.
Yeah.
So she said book it near Mongkok MTR station, but we booked it near Prince Edward.
But in the area of Mongkok.
In the area of Mongkok.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. That's what I meant. That's. I don't think we've done that, but it worked out.
Yeah.
So it was a happy coincidence, right?
No. She said book it near a MTR station.
Oh, okay.
Like it doesn't really matter where you are.
As long as it's in Bangkok.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Anything else about the travel? I thought the getting around the taxis, everything was fine, wasn't
it?
Yeah. We used Uber there as well.
Yeah, that was
so
pretty
Uber
cool.
So Uber was pretty cool, wasn't
it?
Yeah. And just walking around was pretty good as well, wasn't it? Like,
yeah.
Generally. Like it was quite a safe place to live.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so the next thing, the things to do in Hong Kong.
Cool. Let's do this, man. So we've done a lot. So we went there for about what, 7 days?
I think it was less than 7 days. So it's probably like 6 days max.
6 days, yeah. Okay. But we must have done that, like easily 12 days worth of stuff.
Yep.
So hit us up. What we got?
You want me to do it? So we got Disneyland.
So yeah, so that's the thing we done on our first day, wasn't it?
Yeah. So we went to Disneyland, and we went with a group of our friends.
Yeah.
And the Disneyland was pretty good. It's the first time you've been.
Yeah, so first time I went to a Disneyland, and apparently everyone was saying that the Disneyland in Hong Kong is good, but it's smaller compared to the one in Paris, smaller than the one in, obviously, Florida. America. Yeah. But I thought it was still good, though. It still had everything you wanted. It was still magical. It still had that feeling.
Yeah.
And it was pretty cool. And
I think a lot of the rides were really good as well, weren't they?
Yeah. So we went on the Iron Man ride, 4D experience. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I think that's the great thing as well. What we liked as well is, well, first of all, the weather in Hong Kong when we were there was amazing. Like 30 degrees all the way. And you wouldn't even like, it was, we went on a Saturday morning and it was so, it was more practically dead, wasn't it? Like you didn't have to queue up for anything. It's pretty chilling.
Yeah.
So that was good.
I think the ride that was absolutely insane was that it's a small, small world.
Oh, that was, that. Yeah. Do you feel that went on for too long?
It's like that was one of those psychedelic kind of experiences.
Yeah. It's like you're taking some like LSD or some acid and you're tripping.
And you're tripping and you're going through this ride and it just carries on and carries on.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to finish because the same song was carried on playing. And then when you go into different parts of the world, it was just playing
in different languages.
Yeah, or different themes. And it kind of got to a point where I was like, I'm sick of this now.
Yeah.
I want to get off.
Yeah.
But it was okay.
What are the rides so good at Disneyland?
We went on this haunted, so this haunted mansion kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it was like the Mysterious Mansion
where
this guy who literally was ripped from the colonial era had stolen and looted artifacts from around the world. And then they were brought back to life with this magical spell. That was pretty cool.
Come on. Don't get political. But
that was pretty cool.
But I think there was a lot to do in Disneyland, so it's definitely worth visiting. Yeah. So I'll definitely go
definitely
and have that
it.
On your list.
How much is that in like UK pounds? About 60 quid?
It's about 60 quid, yeah.
60 quid, and you can literally spend the whole day in it, which is pretty cool. The food was nice as well. Like, it was funny though, because we went to like a full-on Disneyland, and you actually had like proper Chinese food.
Yeah.
And that was nice as well, the food that we had there. That was amazing.
Yeah, that was good. The other thing that we did was Big Buddha.
Big Buddha as well. That was amazing. Yeah. So...
What?
With Big Buddha, we definitely recommend. You can get the MTR station.
Yeah.
To the
stop. You can basically get the MTR to, I can't remember the name of the station now, but you can get the train, the metro.
Yeah.
And the metro stop takes you to right outside where you need to be.
Yeah.
And then from there, we decided to get a cable car. So you can either trek up it or you can get a cable car.
Yeah.
And there's two choices with the cable cars. You can either have a crystal glass bottom cable car, or you can have the normal one. So we decided that we were going to go for the crystal glass bottom one because it offers a different experience.
Yeah, and that was pretty cool as well, because when you're traveling up the cable car, like, the views are amazing anyway.
Yeah.
But having the glass bottom on, that just adds an extra element,
dimension.
Extra element and extra sense of danger.
Yeah,
to the point
I enjoyed that. It was quite good, wasn't it?
And we, you know, some people say that you can either take the cable car up and then travel down by bus.
Yeah.
But the quickest way we found was getting down via cable car as well, because it just takes the hassle out of the whole journey, innit?
Yeah. And it's just easier, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And like, you know, you get to see the view again, and I thought that was quite a good
experience. What was your thoughts when you finally got to the area of Big Buddha and all that?
So the Big Buddha, everything was amazing there. Like, obviously it's like a spiritual, what is the word called?
It's a religious ground, isn't it?
Yeah.
For the Buddhists, and it's still an active monastery.
Yeah,
and that was crazy as well. Where, like, there were, it was when you get there, when you land in the area, it's filled with all the like corporate and commercial things, like a Starbucks and all that.
Yeah,
fair enough, because like, you know, everyone's gonna make the money from it.
Yeah,
like which is pretty cool. But when you start going deeper into it, then it all. The whole corporate things.
So you could imagine, like, some people were there doing a pilgrimage and stuff. So there was people, like, there were separate areas from the
touristy
bits where the people who are obviously Buddhists can do their praise in silence away from the tourists.
Yeah.
So there were some bits where the tourists weren't allowed in. But I mean, even though we still had a bit of a sneak peek and had a look at what
the temples were like. The people, cool. Even at the Big Buddha, they're like everywhere, like, the people are really nice, and they basically just said, they had signs up as well saying, look, don't take any pictures, be respectful, don't be too loud. Like, people are still praying. Like, that was pretty cool.
So, what do you think of the Big Buddha itself?
That was amazing, man. Basically, you have to take, once you get there on the cable car, it's them stairs that kill you, man.
Those 100 stairs or whatever it is.
Yeah, so you got to travel all up these stairs, and there's no other way of getting there, as far as I know.
The 100 steps, to be honest, didn't feel like that much.
Was it 100?
It's about 100 or so.
Yeah, okay.
It definitely wasn't like, some people are saying it's 300 steps. I don't think it was that.
It felt like 300 steps. I can see why where that figure's come from.
The reason it was difficult and challenging was because I felt that the air was getting thinner, like the higher up we were going.
Yeah.
So it's already on top of a mountain, and it was, we're supposed to be dropping facts, aren't we?
No, it's, I think now the whole experience, like, you know, we were taking pictures and everything, but the pictures we were taking of the Big Buddha just wouldn't do any justice. I think it's one of those things that you definitely have to go over there and experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, just have a genuine feel of it and see what it's about. But I think with the, what I liked about the Big Buddha was, is the fact that, you know, it's the fact that they're still, obviously it's an active monastery, but it's, you know, they're still keeping it, you know, like, it's not.
So the Big Buddha is a large bronze statue.
Mm.
And it was completed in 1993.
Well, that's pretty recent, isn't
it? That's quite recent, yeah. And it started in the Poling Monastery. And it symbolised the harmonious relationship between man, nature, people and faith. I think I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Just trying to think what else. Go on, Sonny.
What else? I'll tell you what you couldn't do there, which is really nice. You can basically light some incense sticks.
Yeah.
And then, you know, put prayers towards the Buddha as well, which was nice.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah. You can do that.
And so we bought some incense sticks from the shop, but there were some free ones as well.
Yeah.
So if you want to light them for free, you can. But and we thought we'd just give as a donation
to
go in
there. All shapes and sizes, man.
Yeah.
You had some that were really small, and you had one which like literally looked like it was the incense stick of the Big Buddha, man. Like it was massive, but it was just amazing. Like it was so peaceful and tranquil.
So the statue itself is actually like 112 feet tall and weighs over 250 metric tons.
Wow.
And it was constructed from 202 bronze pieces.
That's mental, man.
Yeah. And it can be seen across the bay from as far as Macau on a clear day.
Wow.
It's pretty cool.
And
it says visitors have to climb 268 steps to reach the Buddha.
It was about 100, don't it?
That is grinding down.
That's a Wikipedia error, man.
It's about 100 steps. I'm sure it felt like it's about 100 steps.
To be honest with you, I felt like I took 100 stops though.
Did you?
Yeah, literally, man. Like I was climbing up there and I got to a point where, you know, like my legs were burning.
Yeah.
Because I was like, muscles. I was like, you know, I got to get up there. Because I knew as soon as I get up there, I could just rest up there, innit? But that was wicked.
Cool. What else? Talking about Macau.
Oh, yeah, Macau, yeah.
So we might as well talk about Macau. Is a island or
so it's an area of Hong Kong. Is it Hong Kong?
But you're leaving the mainland, aren't you? So let me just bring up.
So Macau is basically known as the Las Vegas of China.
Yeah.
And I think that's a bit of a diss to Macau because I think Macau's its own special thing. But I think the reason why they use that terminology is because it just helps people not from the area understand it.
Yeah.
Mainly like people from like the western part of the world. But I think Macau as a place to visit was pretty awesome. Filled with casinos, filled with loads of shops and everything.
Yeah, so it's quite good, wasn't it? I've been to Las Vegas and it did have the Las Vegas vibe.
Yeah.
And you could see that obviously the people who own the casinos, they must have used the same blueprint on the buildings.
Of course, yeah.
So they've made them like almost identical. So like, you know, I don't think that the casinos were going to have different buildings for Macau. But do you want to drop your facts about Macau? Macau is
formerly a colony of Portugal.
Yep.
And it's been, I think Hong Kong as well, it was of UK colony. And both of them have been given 50 years to integrate with China as an into the Chinese country. But
so Macau remained under the Portuguese control until about 1999 and then it was returned to China.
When did they decide, I was find it interesting, when does a part of a city or something like Macau decide, you know what, gambling, that's how we're going to make our tourism? That's always interesting, isn't it?
I kind of feel like Chinese are large gamblers.
Well, yeah, I know what you mean.
Like, I think it's probably like a pastime, maybe.
Yeah, because we did go to some of the casinos and we saw your regular stuff, like your roulettes and all that. Yeah. And then we saw loads of like games that we'd never seen before. And I could imagine that they're just like clearly made for the Chinese market. I'll tell you what I loved about Macau as well, though. I loved like the building, the architecture, the vibe as well, and also the journey there. Like, we got a first class fast ferry, and that was awesome. And you know, like, experiencing first class and you get like unlimited drinks and little things like that just made the journey just a little bit extra special, didn't it?
So you have to get a ferry to Macau. You can't get the MTR or the train or anything.
Yeah,
so the ferry, like you said, like we opted awesome, for the first class option. It was only about it's about $150 more.
So that's about 15 quid?
About 15 quid. But you do get drinks. Yeah. So if you're going in the afternoon or the morning, it's probably worth it because you get like coffees and
you get everything,
and whatever you want.
And, so I think they look after you as well, man. Yeah. When you're there as well as your first class thingy as well. You got to make sure when you do go to Macau, you take your passports as well.
Yeah.
Because it literally is like, well, you're obviously stepping into another part of a country. And it's literally like passport control.
The port thing was nice, wasn't it? What was it called? The harbour where we...
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Like where you got onto the ferry.
And then as soon as you've passed through all that, then you basically are met with like loads of buses for the different casinos.
Yeah.
And that's all free as well, which I thought was cool.
So you got shuttle buses that go from in between the casinos.
Yeah.
And they also go back to the ferry stations.
Yeah.
And it's quite small, so you can move around quite freely. So, you know, like, if you do want to move between the casinos, rather than walking, just get the shuttle buses between them, just makes it easier.
Yeah, yeah. And the good thing is, though, like, it's somewhere like, when we went anyway, the weather was awesome, so you felt like walking.
Hmm.
And it was, like, it's all, you know, as we said, all clear roads, stretches.
Yeah.
You can just walk through. And
but I think you don't realise that the casinos are huge.
Yeah.
So, like, even though something might be next door, it's like... it's quite a bit of a walk.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
man.
From door to door.
While we were in Macau, we went on a couple of attractions as well. Went on the Batman Dark Knight, Wing.
So basically, each hotel has an attraction of some sort or a gimmick. And we went to...
Studio City. So there was... their thing was Hollywood movies.
Yeah.
So then, therefore, they had a... So there's a Batman
Dark Flight. Yeah.
4D experience, and it's quite funny though, because we, you know, you finally get into the experience and it's pretty cool. It's very theatrical.
Yeah.
Not in theatrical in the sense of there's theatre actors, but you feel like you're in the experience.
Yeah.
And they ain't even started the 4D part of it.
Yeah.
You know, you got screens playing, you feel like you're actually in Batman's lair.
Yeah.
You see the bat suit in the Batcave, sorry. And then it's like, you know, he's narrating and he's saying to you that, you know, we need to get you to...
The drama starts, doesn't it?
Yeah, drama starts, and you take you to the Batwing, and you're sitting in the Batwing, and it was quite funny though, because literally 2 seconds before it's about to start, we're like, wait a minute, where's the 3D glasses?
3D glasses. And we were like literally saying that how is this going to compare to the Iron Man 4DX experience that we went to,
which was
because
awesome.
Because that was awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So literally, like Sonny was saying before it's about to start, we were saying this is going to be rubbish.
Yeah.
And like within like the first 30 seconds of the simulation starting.
Yeah.
Honestly, man, it was amazing, wasn't it?
I felt like I was going to fall out, man. Literally, like I was there holding on to the thing. I was like, oh my God. So basically, you feel like, first of all, they sit you down and you think to yourself, wait a minute, why are we not sitting at the front? And then basically everything just lowers down. The seats move up and you're literally just hanging off, and then the whole experience begins.
Yeah.
And it's like non-stop from there.
So somehow they managed to do like a 3D experience with that 3D glasses.
Which I'm not surprised, you know. Like, I've always thought that as well, that can you do that? And they obviously proved it, proved it they can.
Hmm.
So I thought that was pretty cool. And you know, these things that they're doing theme parks are going to make into the regular cinema. I mean, 4DX already has.
Hmm.
It's made into regular cinema, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the other thing, other ride we went on while we were in Studio City was the Golden Reel.
Yeah.
Which was, what would you describe it as? Like a Ferris wheel.
It's a Ferris wheel, but... Yeah, it's a Ferris wheel.
In the shape of an 8, isn't it?
Shape of a figure 8, yeah.
Yeah, which was awesome as well, because you get in there, you know, you got a glass bottom carriage, and you get to see views of Macau that you would never normally see.
Hmm.
And that was another amazing experience as well. And you know, we're not really big gamblers. There wasn't really interest in the games, but there's still so much to see. You got malls and you got shops, and you know, just walking around all these places and just taking it all in, man. It was really good. So Macau, you could probably do, you know, some people say you could spend a day and a night there, but it depends on what you want to do.
I think in retrospect, it would have been good if we had gone at night,
yeah,
in a group and gone out for a night out.
Okay.
Yeah, because the casino thing, like we weren't really gamblers because we're not really that much into it.
But, yeah.
I think going as a group, it might have been a good laugh.
I actually enjoyed what we did with it. I think, as I said, I wasn't, you know, not really a big gambler, but I enjoyed going there to check out the architecture and stuff.
Yeah.
And the buildings are like, they're marvels, man. Like, literally. Like, even the Apple store looked just gigantic.
Cool. What was the other thing that we did? So, the other thing that we went to as well was Ocean Park.
So, Ocean Park is another theme park in Hong Kong. And it's quite a special one because it's so many things. It's a theme park. And, yeah, it's a theme park. It's got a panda conservatory as well.
Conservatory?
Sanctuary?
Probably, yeah.
Panda sanctuary, sorry, and an aquarium. So yeah, it's got all those three things. And also, I think it may be called Ocean Park because it's literally on the side of oceanfront.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But basically, this is what Wikipedia describes it as. It's a marine mammal park.
Okay.
Oceanarium.
Okay.
Animal theme park and amusement park. Situated in the Wong Chuk Hang and Nam Lung Shan southern district of Hong Kong, and it's the second largest theme park in Hong Kong following Disneyland.
No way. For some reason I felt that Ocean Park was bigger or had better rides.
But anyway, Ocean Park opened in like 1977.
No way, man.
It's been a thingy, and it became popular in 2005.
Is that because it had the panda?
Maybe.
But
I mean, that was the first time that I've ever seen a panda.
Same here, man. Yeah. That was amazing, wasn't it?
So they had like a giant panda habitat.
Yeah.
Which was set in a rainforest.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool, wasn't it?
That was definitely like, every time I said to somebody, oh, you can go and see a panda in Hong Kong. Like, oh, you can see one in Edinburgh. But I was like, forget that, man. You want to see a panda in his natural habitat.
But previously, I think they used to also have a killer whale as well. Between 1979 and 1997.
Oh, no, was that?
Yeah, but I think that I don't remember seeing the enclosure or anything.
No.
They probably got rid of that. And the other thing that they apparently had was a polar bear and penguins. But I don't remember seeing that or the enclosures for that.
Okay. But the panda was amazing because, like...
Yeah.
It was
so weird, isn't it? Like, seeing a panda in real life.
It was... I was just laughing at what you were saying. It was like, it could be a panda, or
it could be a man in a bear suit, basically.
Yeah, and they're trying to con us, but it was crazy because you get into the panda sanctuary and you know, you got to be really quiet.
Yeah.
And you know, and the worst thing is, like, there were some people who were not being quiet.
Yeah.
This one guy was literally, you could see he's a right dickhead. Sorry, but he was there chatting away loudly, and all you're going to hear is I'm going, shh. Everyone's shushing him like, mate, shut up.
Yeah.
And that's because like pandas are very
solitary
animals.
Yeah.
And they only ever pop out every now and again.
But you know, the weird thing about that panda was, like, you know when you go to a museum or you want to see, not museum, sorry, when you go to a zoo and you want to see an animal.
Yeah.
It was literally doing what you wanted it to do. It was sitting there on display
in front of
everybody, eating food and just moving around. And like, you could see it clearly, couldn't
you? Do you think that it had privacy glass on its side, so he could only see, he couldn't see us?
I think so.
That's why
that would make sense, in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because imagine if he could see us, he'd be distracted, in it.
That's a good observation, you know.
So like, I'm thinking that he probably could just see just darkness on his front.
Yeah.
And he's probably just there chilled out, because he'd be spooked, in it.
Yeah.
But it was funny though, because the panda gets up and everyone's like, oh my god, he's got up. What's he gonna do, or she? And he basically goes and just gets some more food and he just starts munching it. But that was I was gonna say it's like seeing a unicorn, but no one's ever seen one of them. But you know what I mean though, just seeing something.
So we went on a few good rides as well. So like, obviously it was an amusement park as well.
Yeah.
So we went on the Flash.
The Flash was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was wild. that was dangerous, wasn't it?
That was proper dangerous because you basically you're rotating, you know, 360 degrees sideways. That don't make any sense.
Yeah,
and then you're getting turned upside down as well.
Yeah,
but you got to see some crazy views.
And then not only does it turn upside down, it stays upside down, doesn't it?
Oh,
like,
yeah, it
feels like you're upside down for quite a while.
Yeah, yeah,
like
it stops upside down. Yeah,
yeah,
that was awesome. The rides were good as well.
We also went on the mine train.
Oh yeah, that was good. Which was weird because this mine train
had a
option
to have the visual, what are they called, VR glasses?
VR headset.
Yeah, Samsung VR glasses. That would have been weird. I didn't understand that.
But I can see why they're doing it now because I think the mine train wasn't all that. But you know what? As we said, because it's on a cliff front?
Yeah.
Cliff edge of the ocean. Hmm. You, when you're on the roller coaster, you can basically see amazing views.
Yeah.
I tell you though, I think the scariest ride for me in Ocean Park was, so basically when you enter the park, you enter at the bottom level. And then to go towards the rides, the roller coaster rides, you got to jump in a cable car.
Yeah.
And that was the scariest part.
Yeah.
Because basically, you just keep going up and up and up.
So it keeps getting higher and higher and higher. And this cable car was so much smaller, wasn't it?
It was so much smaller and it was moving side to side.
Yeah.
It was very rickety. And then it would just randomly stopped.
Yeah.
And at that point, I'm not going to lie, man. I was like, what the hell's going on? And then you see randomly see a tiny sign which says, if it does stop, don't worry, because we take our time getting on passengers who are either
old or disabled.
And I was thinking, okay, you know, if they said that before, it wouldn't have, you know, it would have eased us a bit. But that was pretty awesome.
Hmm.
And I think, yeah, I definitely recommend Ocean Park. I think you spend about half a day there and get it out of the way.
I think the other thing that we were asking our friend,
Roman,
stroke tour guide, Nitin,
oh yeah,
was that do Chinese people eat panda?
Yeah.
Which sounds like a strange question, but it's on the menu. Or potentially on the menu. Do you know what I mean?
It's one of those things. It's like, you know, different cultures eat different animals. So it was just an interesting thing of like, has anyone eaten panda?
But he was saying that he doesn't think anyone's ate panda for like 200-300 years. Because it's the national animal, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was also saying, who the hell wants to eat bear meat? Because that's what it is, isn't it, really?
But then, I don't know, like, who would want to eat kangaroo meat? But people doing it.
Yeah. And you were saying horse meat as well, weren't
you? Yeah, in France.
But anyway, nobody eats panda meat because he was saying that you would make more money
from a live panda.
From a live panda than you would from panda sushi or panda cookies.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
So that was interesting.
What else did we do in Hong Kong?
I think the other thing that we did, which I thought was pretty unique, we had a boat party, didn't we?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Yeah. So this basically was a group of like 14 of us.
Yeah.
And
so it's 14 people that we knew.
Yeah.
So basically, we'll get onto this, but the reason we went to Hong Kong was because we went to a wedding party.
Yeah.
And we went with about 14 other people we met.
Yeah.
Including ourselves. And basically, it was described to us as a boat party, which either meant it was a formal boat party.
Yeah.
With black
ties. Yeah, black ties, and it's at night, and you know, you're going to have like, you're going to be on a boat. And
and you're going to have, what are those things called? That
canapes?
Canapes and all that kind of stuff. So I was thinking, it's either
champagne
that kind
reception.
Of boat party.
Yeah.
Or we're literally going to have a boat and we're going to jump in the water.
And we're going to party.
Yeah. But it was the latter, innit?
Yeah. It was a fun boat party with activities, which is cool.
So basically, I wasn't that excited about getting in the water because I've never got into the sea water before.
Yeah. And that was the first time experience for me as well, man. And I tell you, man, that stuff was salty, man. That water was in it.
So basically, our friend Nitin said that, look, make sure you take your swimming trunks or your shorts, even if you're not in the mood to go in there straight away.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when you're on the boat, you're gonna regret it.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'm definitely not gonna go in the water. But as Nitin was right, I regretted it straight away. But luckily, my friend Robin had brought a spare pair.
Well, he actually brought the clothes that he was going to change into, innit? Yeah. So he what a soldier, man. He took one for the team. Yeah. He was like, I'm going to help my best friend out here, Jazz. My best friend that I've known for ages. I'm going to help him out. And
so he sacrificed a dry pair of clothes.
So his dry clothes.
so you could I could
jump in the water.
Yeah, because I made a bad decision.
The funny thing is, I even said to you, "Oh man, like take something," but you was adamant. You're like, "Nah, man."
No, I was 100% convinced I'm not gonna want to jump in. But as soon as you're there and like the sun's shining,
yeah,
the water's calm, everyone's jumped in, everyone's having fun. It's such a wicked laugh.
That's what made it wicked, you know, the fact that it was hot. And the one thing I wasn't expecting Hong Kong to be was hot.
Yeah.
Like you literally go there and it's just the weather's beautiful.
Yeah.
And you get to the boat party part and the views are amazing, the sea air is amazing. With you know the fresh air and the water's warm as well, and you're right, you know, it was so tempting.
Yeah.
Because as soon as like I seen a few people getting, I was thinking, wow, this looks awesome, man.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go and get in as well.
So literally, and I sat there for like 5 minutes and thought, damn.
Didn't it?
And I instantly regret this.
And all I gotta say is that life jackets was a lifesaver, bro.
Exactly. It? But anyway.
Yeah.
The other good thing that
I'll tell you what was wicked though. It was funny. I'm glad you done it as well, though. You got into that banana boat thing.
Oh yeah, that was fun as well.
That was crazy, man.
So basically, before you carry on, what the options were that you either have the you either go with with the other group of people,
yeah,
or you do a private hire, and the private hire, because it was 14 of us, actually worked out approximately the same, didn't it?
Yeah,
as doing like a regular hire.
Yeah.
So because it was 14, because if we did a private hire, we did literally all the water sports available.
Yeah.
So that was pretty good, wasn't it? So like we did, you did kayaking.
Yeah.
We did the banana boat and the speed boat. Them guys did surfboarding.
Yeah. I don't think none of them, they went to do surfboarding, but yeah, I don't think none of them could do surfboarding.
Could stand for long enough.
Because they came back looking miserable. They came back looking like they've drunk seawater.
That they were in pain, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was awesome, wasn't it, like having the whole boat to yourself.
Yeah, I think that's what made it good, you know, because I felt like, because it was our group of friends, if it was anyone else it would have felt rubbish.
Yeah,
but yeah, if you can manage to get 14 of your friends or 14 people that, you know, or definitely recommend
14
it.
Up to 20 in it basically,
the yeah
but yeah.
And you know, this particular one as well, the lady done food as well. Mm. And they've done all types of food, which is pretty cool, except for vegetarian food.
Yeah,
but that was pretty cool. And the drinks, you can, you know, bring your own booze as well, man, which is awesome.
So I think, would you say those were the bigger things that we did in Hong Kong?
Yeah, there's that. And
the other things that we did locally was we went to check out the nightlife.
Yeah, the nightlife was awesome.
Yeah, so like, we went to this area called LKF.
Yeah, so LKF,
and Sunny's been practicing the,
have I,
the name
LKF is is it Lan Kwai Fong?
Lan Kwai Fong.
Lan Kwai Fong. You could say it and you made me butcher it, you punk. Yeah.
So basically, it's a small square of streets, a small square of streets in central Hong Kong that is dedicated for
partying.
Partying, basically.
P-A-R-T-Y. Yeah. Literally, man. It's like basically in Hong Kong and I'm guessing in China, space is at a premium. So all the bars that are in this batch, what we noticed was very tiny. So you're basically partying out on the streets.
Yeah.
And like, the you know, the clubs are playing the music and the people are serving the shots. And obviously you got to go in to buy a shot, but you can just drink anywhere and everywhere. And one weird thing as well is though, the thing where you're getting high or whatever in this area. But some of the areas, man, it's so steep.
They're so steep.
And you could literally like roll down a street.
But you know, like Sonny's just said that the space is a premium, so they got like a lot of high rises.
Yeah.
And honestly, like when we were going through, this wasn't just in LKF, this was just generally in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
So when we were going in high rise buildings,
yeah,
they were using those things as multi-purpose things, buildings, that, basically.
Yeah, literally, like basically, yeah.
Go on, carry it.
You know, we went to one club in a high rise building. So you know, the floor was level 3 where our club was. But it must have stopped at level 2 and that opened up and it was just like a professional looking office.
Yeah.
It was so weird. Then you opened up to level 4 and that was another club.
Yeah. And that was weird, wasn't it? Yeah. It was like he was in the Matrix, like every time the lift doors opened on a different floor. It was
something
completely
else.
Something different, wasn't it?
It was like, I've seen it, I remember seeing this in like comedy films or like, you know, in like, in cartoons where, you know, different floors have got something completely different.
Yeah,
like, you know, there'd be like a posh restaurant or something. It was nuts.
So that was amazing. But I mean, like the places that our friends took us to, who are from Hong Kong,
yeah,
they were pretty cool, weren't they?
Yeah, they
were. That's not where that other place was, it? So LKF was different to Gulu Gulu.
Yeah, Gula Gula was in the Knutsford area of Hong Kong.
So basically, LKF was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it's literally Hong Kong Party Central. Recommend going there on a Saturday because that's the night where everyone just goes nuts. Like,
so that was
crazy.
Jamming. And I mean, we mentioned Gula Gula, which was like, I would describe it as a sports bar, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was nice though. It was a sports bar, like, you know, beer pong and sports games and bar sports.
And like you have a couple of drinks, play darts or pool or play cards or whatever you wanted.
And even that Chinese dice game as well, which I could not get my head around.
I did not understand it at all.
It was like, I was trying to play and then I just thought, you know what, I got to give up.
I think that on one of the first nights when, was that at Gula Gula as well, where we played this card game that we used to play in college called Bobby?
That was at the other place, isn't it? The other shisha place?
Okay.
Yeah. The small
so
box.
Basically, we decided that we were going to play a card game from college, which hardly any of us could remember playing.
Yeah.
But then once we got into the flow of it, it was just hilarious, wasn't
it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was good.
So, like, it was such a good chill. Like, you know, like, it was very different. Like, you know, like, you've been out all day running around, and then in the evening or early hours of the morning,
you're just
sitting there, just chilling out, having drinks
and
playing cards and just watching the world go by in it.
It was awesome. I think I liked about the Knutsford area as well is that we went to that. And that bar you talked about, Gula Gula. Basically, they had so you had your ground area that was busy. You had your upstairs area that was busy as well. And then they had another secret chilled out area.
Yeah.
Which not many people knew about, and it kind of felt like that was just their getaway.
Yeah.
From everything.
So basically, our friend Nitin took us to which was a
secret room,
secret bar.
Yeah.
And then the woman said that there's no space available here.
Yeah.
And he said, "What about the bar upstairs?" And I think it was almost like she didn't know about the bar upstairs.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I wouldn't be surprised, man, because our tour guide, our friend and tour guide Nitin, knew about this guy. You know, he wasn't even in the country, and he was sending us itineraries every day, man. But yeah, he knew about places that, which was in Hong Kong, that was mental.
Yeah, so he knew about the secret rooms in the secret bars, man. Basically, is what this guy was doing, but. So, having him there made our life so much easier, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah, mate. It
because
made
we
the
didn't
trip,
have
man.
To think about any of our itinerary.
Yeah.
And we were getting told where to go places down to the individual stops that we need to get off at.
Yeah, that was nuts.
And how much money to take with us, which was even better.
I think, it also does cut out a lot of, as you're saying, cut out a lot of thingies, isn't it?
The other thing that you can do to check out in Hong Kong as well is the ladies market.
Yeah, so that's in the Man Kok area.
Yeah, so the ladies market was pretty cool, isn't it? So you can like do loads of haggling and trading, and you can buy loads of variety of different things.
Yeah,
but just... I think when you go to the ladies market, obviously you got to haggle and things, but I think like be playful with it and have fun with it.
Yeah,
like whatever you do, there's no point disrespecting the people because you know they're there to make a profit.
Absolutely,
they've got bills to pay.
Yeah,
and whatever you pay is not going to be that much really, innit?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like when we were there, we were like we knew what we were gonna pay.
Yeah.
And even if they asked for like 10 more, 20 more, it's only £1, £2.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's not like mega bucks.
I think the thing with the ladies market as well is that it's obviously the whole area of Mangkok, you know, you got your legit shops as well, and then you go into the ladies market and it is filled with quite a lot of fake products. So you gotta be really careful what you buy.
Yeah.
But some of the stuff was pretty cool. It looked alright. There were some weird things I saw, man. They had like Batman toys, and it was like Batman's part of the Avengers, and I was thinking this is so fake, but it was funny. That was pretty cool. And I'll tell you what's funny though, we went to the ladies market once, and we've been walking around all day. Can you imagine this, like the fifth day into our trip, and our mate Roman just sits down, and then he starts like me and him start pretend like haggling, and Roman's there pretending to be like, you know, how much you want to pay for this, and you know, give me $50 whatever, and I started like pretending and like haggling with him, and then some random dude turns up out of nowhere, and there's one Indian guy and one other guy was like from Pakistan, and he's like, look, this guy's from Pakistan as well. And I started laughing, man.
So they thought that your pretend haggling
with
was,
Roman,
was part of the.
But they thought it was legit because a lot of people started gathering around Roman to buy things, and I was thinking, oh god, you know, we don't actually work here. Because imagine if we get like record.
Yeah.
we get fingered by the authorities, man, because you're not allowed to do any like free, not any voluntary work there either, you know.
Yeah. So basically, Ladies Market, if you're going to check it out, is on Tung Chui Street. And there's loads of MTR stations nearby. So you can go to from like Mong Kok Station or Mong Kok East Station. So even if you just ask anyone about it, they will know where it is. So it's pretty good to check it out.
Yeah. I think, what else did we do, man? I think we've done a lot, man.
So we also went to do the Chinese massage.
Oh, that was pretty cool. So basically, everywhere you go into Hong Kong and you're going to see so many signs for foot massage, but
some of them are foot massages
in air quotes
and some of them are actual foot massages.
Yeah. So yeah. We as a group, a mixed group, myself, Jazz, Roman and Hobbs, I'm putting everyone in it now, yeah, in case something happens. So we went to the first two places we went to and the lady was like, what? You actually want a foot massage?
Yeah.
We don't do those kind of foot massages. So she was like, okay. So we were like, okay, well, we kind of got the understanding what's happening here. Then we went to another place. And when our mate half said, look, I'm looking for a foot massage, she was like, ew, I ain't touching no one's feet. So she literally shooed us out of the shop because she was like, no, we're busy in it.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay. So we're walking down, and we found a legit
foot massage place.
Foot massage place that does everything. And it was, you could tell it was legitimate because it had the stuff out there in the shop front. And it was...
Yeah.
It was good.
So basically, we paid about $220.
Which
works about 22, 23 quid.
That was good, man, for an hour.
That was for an hour foot massage and back massage.
Yeah.
And everyone enjoyed it apart from Sunny.
No, I enjoyed it, but yeah, man, I must have some carrying a lot of tension and knots, man. Because yeah, every time, like, this lady had, like, hands of steel, man.
Yeah.
Literally, man. She was like the immortal Iron Fist. Probably not the best terminology to use,
yeah,
fist, but anyway, she had hands of steel, man.
Yeah.
So every time she was touching like a part of my body, man, it was like she was just like
hitting the nerves.
And it was, at one point, man, she had me in like in some sort of wrestling move.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my god, is this even part of the thing, or she just... But it was painful, man, but it was good though. It basically, I felt much relaxed afterwards, and I think I must have some like sort of issue. I got like super sensitive nerves, man. I'm like that dude from, was he Unbreakable?
Yeah. So you was Breakable.
Glass. Breakable, yeah, yeah. Definitely, man. But we definitely recommend getting a legit foot massage.
Yeah. But I think the other thing that we did was, well, we generally had a look around Hong Kong and just the sky views,
the skyline was amazing. We went to a few bars as well, some rooftop bars.
Yeah. And we went to the highest bar in the world,
Ozone.
Yeah. Which was recommended by our friend Anu.
Yeah.
And she didn't go with us, but she recommended it.
Yeah.
And she wanted to come, but she couldn't. So that was pretty cool, wasn't it?
That, like, was a fancy, man, because that was in the, yeah, Ritz-Carlton.
Yeah.
So you got in a massive, you got in this building, and then you get to the Ritz-Carlton, and then you, from the Ritz-Carlton, you go up to the Ozone bar.
Yeah.
And wow, you know, it was first time I went to the bar and I felt, this is awesome. Like, normally I don't really like the feel of how a bar is.
Hmm.
But this was like, I love this, man. This was amazing. Like, I felt like it wasn't as wanky, but it was nice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was cool.
So the Ozone, I'm trying to figure out how high up it is. So it's, bloody hell, I can't really find a thing. But anyway, it's the highest bar in the world.
Yeah.
I was trying to find how high it was. I think it's on like the 300th floor or something, and you take like a lift up there.
Yeah.
And that gives you... It makes your ears pop, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because you're travelling so fast and it's so... like it's so high up.
Like...
Yeah. But I mean, we didn't manage to get the view, check out the views because it'd been raining. But
well, it's been storming it.
Yeah.
It was stormy in it, yeah. But...
If you do get to check it out, definitely have a look.
That was amazing. And I think another thing that I liked went to was the harbour.
The harbour, yeah.
So
our friend Anu took us to the harbour, which was...
Awesome.
Yeah.
So you basically, you know, it's a night time and the entire city is just lit up with its natural lights.
Yeah.
And you're there and you walk across the harbour. We walked across the harbour, we saw that as well. Then we jumped onto a ferry.
Yeah, which can use your Octopus card as well.
Yeah. And it's what, like 50 pence?
I think it's like, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, out. So it worked out really cheap to travel in a ferry to central Hong Kong, which was awesome. So central Hong Kong's just another stop away.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's, yeah,
that was pretty cool, wasn't it? So we went at night and it was quite a good experience.
Yeah,
and I think we ended up getting some ice creams and things, which there was loads of like food vendors were there, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you wanted to get anything,
the food was all pretty decent as well, man. Yeah. Like the street food was nice.
Yeah.
So we had like fish balls, squid balls, and something else. I'm not gonna lie to you, man. It took a while for us to get used to what the food was.
Yeah.
And also McDonald's was definitely a savior.
Yeah.
But I always find that McDonald's, like this McDonald's in China, was so much better than what we get here.
Yeah.
You get like spicy McChicken sandwiches. Yeah. You get, you know, you get apple pie with ice cream.
Yeah.
You know, that's like with loads of hot fudge.
And then you could also get like fries, and you could get like a salt, which is, might be like honey barbecue salt.
Oh, you still got that in it?
And you can mix it up, yeah.
Where is that? You need to... we still got that.
In my bag.
Yeah, we still got that. And also, the McDonald's breakfast in Hong Kong is so much better. You get pancakes, you get syrup, you get everything, man. That was,
I think,
amazing.
The other place that our friend took us to was called Fusion Sushi.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, so that was in like Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Sorry, not Hong Kong, I'm saying Hong Kong. So that was one of the well-known places that we went to, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was nice as well, man. Like having the Fusion Sushi place, like our mate Roman for the first time tried sushi, vegetarian sushi for the first time, and he said he loved it.
Yeah.
And I think... I do enjoy eating sushi, and I think having that was amazing.
That was amazing sushi, that was. So that was like a little restaurant or thing that our friend recommended. And the other place that we went to as well was the, let's say it's right, the Siwa restaurant?
Siwa restaurant, yeah.
Yeah.
So Siwa restaurant is a chain of Chinese restaurants.
Yeah.
And really, really good food as well. So really decent food, and just... everywhere was just packed, like this, even though it's a chain restaurant, it's kind of like their Nando's, would you say?
Yeah, I think so. So they've got like about 35 branches in Hong Kong, and 2 branches in Macau, and 22 branches in mainland China. So it's like one of these companies that's a limited company and it's listed publicly in Hong Kong on the stock exchange.
That's mental, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's quite a popular destination for nightclubbers.
They were saying like basically in Hong Kong, like there's so much places to eat that people don't even cook at home.
Yeah,
like
we're very limited cooking.
Very limited, yeah. Because it's the food's there and it's tasty. Where else did we get up to?
I think we haven't actually said why we went. Okay. So we went because it was our friend's wedding reception.
Yeah.
So we basically, they had a wedding in UK.
Yeah.
And then because those guys are from Hong Kong, they said they were going to have a wedding reception there, and they invited us guys along.
Yeah.
And they had 2 parties there. So they had one that was, they called it an Indian reception.
Yeah.
Which was basically like their close family. And the family, that was pretty cool, wasn't it?
That was like
tamarind. A tamarind restaurant.
Yeah.
And it was, it had a rooftop terrace.
That was
And
awesome.
You could see a view of the harbour, which was amazing,
nice.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it was a really nice view. The food there was pretty good.
Wicked, yeah.
The service was good as well in that restaurant. And...
good party, man. Enjoyed it.
That was a really good party.
Fun
party,
yeah.
And the other party that they had was, they were calling it a Chinese party because it wasn't the theme, obviously, because they're in China, aren't they?
Yeah.
Or Hong Kong even. But it was because they'd invited a lot more of their Chinese friends.
Yeah.
And the food they were serving was...
Chinese food.
Very Chinese, wasn't it? So we ended up having like a 9-course...
meal.
Chinese meal.
And that was awesome. That was so basically the groom's dad is a well-known actor in China, and for this party he invited his cast and all his friends, and you know, it was just amazing.
All these like TV personalities.
Yeah.
That
and
were
we
amazing.
Were basically sitting in a party, and we got the who's of Hong Kong, and obviously we don't watch any of these shows, so we don't know who's we're sitting next to, innit? Or you know who anyone is, but just seeing the reaction of the staff and all the people, we knew that everyone's like, wow, this person's here, and they're trying to like get pictures and get people taking selfies, and it was just amazing. And like the entertainment was banging as well. There was
some of the people definitely looked like movie stars.
You know about the women and it?
Yeah, like the women and the guys as well, like, you know, like they definitely looked like they were definitely movie stars.
Everyone looked
I think
like,
yeah
looked
I think out of the two parties, that was probably like one of my most favorite ones.
I think because it's obviously we never experienced
it,
that's what I never experienced that. And I think like, you know, the staff at the, because obviously we were sat down, and like it was 2 tables that were the VIP tables, which was the family table and our table, which was the friends' table, and that was.
I thought we were obviously sitting in the middle of it, weren't we? Because we were like with.
We could just see everything.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
But the thing that I liked about it was that the staff there in that place, and I think just the people in general, were so attentive, weren't they?
Yeah.
Like they were like almost catering for our every need.
They were
catering for needs that I didn't even know I had. Basically.
Like what?
So like basically, I put my jacket on the back of the chair.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, somebody appears with a cover to protect my jacket on the back of my chair.
And they put it over your jacket and the chair.
And basically, it stops anybody from touching it.
Yeah.
Any food from getting on it and stop it from getting creased.
That's mental, man.
Which I was like, this is amazing. But we had the 9-course meal, which you were saying, but the food kept getting ramped up each menu.
It was, man. It was like, it started off with scallops and broccoli, and you're thinking, I can do this, man. I can do this. And then it goes to shark fin soup. And that got me, man.
That got me, man. The shark fin soup got me, man.
I could do the sea cucumber.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know what this meant to taste like, but it tastes okay.
Yeah.
But when it gets to the shark fin soup, I'm like, oh my God.
This really tastes fishy as well.
This tastes like shark fin soup.
Yeah.
I think I preferred, for the first time, me and Jazz tried chicken feet.
Yeah.
For the first time. And man, we could put up a video of that if you want. But yeah, chicken feet for the first time. It was tastier than expected.
Yeah.
If you said to me before this, shark fin soup or chicken feet, I'd be like, shark fin soup.
Yeah.
But trust me, chicken feet was much tastier than...
Yeah, the shark fin soup was
weird. Yeah, yeah, it was. But I'm glad that we got to try different foods, because obviously that's the whole thing, we went there.
Yeah.
You know, like, could talk about Mackey's as much as we want, but...
Yeah, I thought that whole Chinese party was amazing, basically.
Good experience, man.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And, I mean, generally, what were the things that you enjoyed? I mean, the party was the most enjoyable thing for me.
Yeah, definitely the boat party and just the whole thing, man. Like, you know, I think them guys all made it really good, man. I've sat knitting and Anu and Tej, them guys made it really, like, they made us feel welcome and the whole thing. And then obviously traveling with the group.
Yeah. I think for me, like, the sightseeing was good.
Yeah.
But I think the most amazing thing was, like, going with a big group of people and having the same experiences and just basically just having a laugh, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, I mean, that added an extra dimension to the holiday.
Yeah.
Which made it feel like you was at home, basically, because you were chilling with friends.
That's true, man, because he also felt, because we had the insider knowledge of them guys, like, it didn't feel like... Obviously, we were on holiday, but we didn't feel touristy.
Yeah.
Like, we felt like, it's like we're in a regular... And I think what I also enjoyed as well, it was, we keep calling the MTR, was a mass rail system or mass transit system. MTR?
Yeah.
Mass transit system. That was so efficient as well. It was almost foolproof.
Yeah.
Until I couldn't figure it out. and then I was like, oh my God, they weren't expecting this.
Yeah.
You know, it literally tells you, you know, normally when you're on a train or you're on the metro, it tells you, you know, which side are you going to get off, and you don't know. But this gives you a massive green light.
Get up on this side. And there was times where Sunny was standing on the wrong side of the door.
Oh my God.
But was there anything that you didn't like? Or?
To be honest with you, no, I think I enjoyed most of it, man. I definitely recommend it. I've been telling people, get your ass to Hong Kong.
I think the only thing that I didn't like was that I thought it was too short.
Oh yeah, okay.
Like, I think we could have stayed there longer, and I kind of feel that we could have chilled with them. With our friends, group and friends more. But because we were there for a wedding, obviously them guys had things to sort out, family to chill with, and just things to do. But I mean, overall, I would definitely recommend checking out Hong Kong if you got time. And I would definitely have it on your list of
things to do, innit?
Things to do and places to visit.
Yeah.
Even if you just visited for a short time.
I mean, yeah, you could literally spend about a week there, innit?
Yeah. So that kind of brings that episode to an end, and that was a really quick whistle stop tour of Hong Kong from our point of view. And I think we could have talked about it even longer, really, couldn't we?
I think I think we could do, but I think, you know what,
we need to wrap it up, innit?
We need to wrap it up.
So thanks for listening to our bonus episode of We Don't Do Stuff. So Tuna McCann, everybody, that means no problems.
And I'm just going to give a quick shout out to the bride and groom, Minnie and Paul, and just want to say congratulations once again, and thank you. And I'm independent.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.